Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends. And Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. We'll hear the greatest Messianic music in town and some fascinating interviews. Speaking of which, just a few minutes ago, I did an interview with Jasmine Andrews. We needed to pre-record the interview. She's the author of a book called Sullied Bride. You've got to hear this program. You've got to hear this interview. It's going to be fascinating, especially for you ladies. And I've got great music, so stay with me and I'll be right back. Now that is the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel from the Sattel Gallery. Did you know that Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation? Well, it is. Come and fellowship with us every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We are located at 1326 North Winton Road in Aranda, Kuwait. You don't have to be Jewish to come. It's for Jews and Gentiles, side by side, who worship the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua. And while you're inside Shema Yisrael, you're going to love visiting the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. The Fig Tree already has Hanukkah candles for sale, great Messianic art calendars, Jonathan Kahn's new book, and all kinds of cards, jewelry, prayer shawls, shofars, great books, great CDs. The Fig Tree is open after services every Saturday around noon to 1, and on Tuesdays from 1 to 7, and Thursdays from 1 to 6. And if you are listening to Bagels and Blessings and you're from the Lockport, Medina, or Buffalo area, check out Congregation Brith Hadashah. It's at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst, and their services are every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. And right now, Jonathan is telling us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
For the peace of Jerusalem, Jerusalem shall live in peace. Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan Sattel. I would like you all to keep Marty Goetz in your prayers, by the way, folks. I didn't pick any of his songs today, but I still want to give you an update. He had open heart surgery on September the 8th. He had a mitral valve repaired, and he had a bypass. Well, right now, he's having some rhythm problems with his heart, and if they can't get it under control, he will have to get a pacemaker. And he joked that he's always wanted rhythm, didn't really have much rhythm. So anyway, please keep Marty Goetz in your prayers, that his rhythm would be back to normal and that God would touch him and he would be completely healed in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. And right now we've got Avner and Rachel Bosky with Ancient Gates.
Thank you. up your heads, O everlasting gates, and let the King come in, let the King come in. Lift up your heads, O everlasting gates, and let the King come in, let the King come in. Who is this, our glorious King, Lord of the armies of heaven? Who is this, our glorious King, Lord of the armies of heaven? Who is this, our glorious King, Lord of the armies of heaven? Who is this, our glorious King, Lord of the armies of heaven? Lift up your heads, O everlasting gates, and let the King come in, let the King come in. Lift up your heads, O everlasting gates, and let the King come in, let the King come in. Do you know the name of His Son, or the wonders He has done? Do you know the name of His Son, Yeshua?
That was Rachel and Avner Bosky, Ancient Gates. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to introduce a new song to you. I don't think I've played this on the air yet. Carlos Perdomo from the CD Desert of My Days, Ruach of God.
of God, come and breathe upon us. Come with your wind of love. We long for you. Oh, come and fill us. Ruach, Ruach of God. Ruach, Ruach of God. Holy, holy, holy is your name. Kadosh, Kadosh Adonai. Of God, come and breathe upon us. Come with your wind of love. We long for you. Oh, come and fill us. Ruach, Ruach of God. Ruach, Ruach. Ruach of God, come and breathe upon us. Come with your wind of love. We long for you. Oh, come and fill us. Ruach, Ruach of God. Adonai Elohim.
May the Ruach of God breathe on you. May His Holy Spirit fall all over you and fill you with peace, joy, and good health. Speaking of good health, I'm so glad I've been going to the chiropractor for all these years. There really is something to it. I highly recommend you go visit Odell Chiropractic. Give a
Your
listen.
Your back is a delicate matter. Everyday things can affect it.
This is the last time I'm picking your toys up off the floor. Oh, oh, oh boy, it just went out.
Major injuries can leave you in bed for days.
Look out!
It's called vertebral subluxation. It's what happens when your back is thrown out of its correct alignment. It causes major pains and in time may damage internal functions. That's why the first time you visit Odell Family Chiropractic, they will determine if x-rays of your spine are needed to pinpoint the exact problem. If they find that they can help you, they'll develop a care plan to allow the spine to achieve the correct position and strengthen it so that it will want to stay strong. They'll prove it to you. During your care with them, they'll show you x-rays of the progression your spine is making while moving into its correct alignment. Visit today to receive a free preventative health evaluation. Call 671-9210. That's 671-9210. Say goodbye to back pain permanently.
Yes, goodbye back pain. Hello, good health. Hallelujah. Well, you know, those of us that know Messiah Yeshua know that one day we will be dancing on streets of gold, and the Lord will greet us with open arms as we run into Abba's arms. Oh my goodness. This is Corey Bell with Lev Shalom from the CD Proclamation. We will dance. hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I know that Corey Bell is listening right now online, and I want to tell you something, Corey. Don't ever doubt for one second that your music affects people, because there is such joy in this song, and I just think everybody needs to put this song on. It's from the CD Proclamation. Corey Bell is a wonderful worship leader, and she sings with her band Lev Shalom in Southern California. And I know, Corey, that you've had a lot of things happen to you lately, but I just want to tell you that I love you and that your music has such an impact on me, and that you chose this song on the CD. I want you to know that this song brings me such joy because it offers hope, because one day we're going to all be dancing on those streets together. Hallelujah. So I just want to tell you, girl, keep up the good work for Yeshua. And what a blessing you are, Corey. I know you're listening, and I'm so excited that you've tuned in online, and God bless you. Whew! Wow. How do I come down from that? I don't know. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and I'm so happy that I've been on the air for 19 years. It's really quite a miracle. Stay with me, because just about a half hour ago, I did an interview with Jasmine Andrews, and we're going to talk about The Sullied Bride, and it's very interesting. We talked about a lot of really interesting things, but right now, I want to thank one of my sponsors that helps keep Bagels and Blessings on the air, Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. They are located in Scottsville, but they'll go anywhere in the area. Their number is 585-889-7840, 585-889-7840. I have recommended them to so many people, and a lot of people now have wonderful furnaces that work in the winter, and they have great air conditioning that works, all because of Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. They're family owned and operated. They love the Lord. Please call them today. They will take care of all your needs. 889-7840, Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. And I just want to give a shout out to the Lord who makes all things new. This is a song, Psalm 30, from Debbie Chernoff.
I will exalt you, oh Lord, for you have lifted me up. I call to you, Lord, for help, and you heal me. I will rejoice in the morning, at noon, and the night, for you have shown mercy to me. So I will dance, you have shown mercy to me.
What a wonderful God we have. He gives us mercy and grace when we don't deserve it. Hallelujah. And I love how Psalm 30 reminds us to worship Him and praise Him morning, noon, and night. Wow. Well, here's a good word about a good place to get some good food. Changes in the air. The Europa Deli and Cafe, now together in one big room. They may have taken away the seating, but they haven't taken away the flavor. Now you can get delicious baked goods and pastries to go, as well as pierogies, fish, herring, and other European delicacies. The Europa Deli and Cafe is located at 1694 Penfield Road. Their phone number is 385-2040, and they're open Mondays, Tuesdays, and Saturdays from 10 to 6, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 10 to 8, and Sundays from 11 to 4. Come on into the Europa Deli and Cafe, and you will be so glad you did. Good. People are always telling me that my hair is adorable. Where do you get your hair done? They always ask. I go to Jardé's Hair Salon. It's located at 2433 Lyle Road in Rochester. Their phone number is 585-429-6623. Enjoy a session that's all about you and a relaxing, rejuvenating environment at Jardé's Hair Salon. Their professional staff will always aim to please, and they will ensure that your experience is a memorable event. Be sure to give them a call today. That's Jardé's Hair Salon and Spa, 429-6623. They are your hair color specialists, and they provide facial waxing and men, women's, and children's hair cutting, hair coloring, highlighting, permanence, and nails. Jardé's Hair Salon. You'll be so glad you checked them out.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? For 1 in 5 adults, chronic pain syndrome, or CPS, is untreatable and a 24/7 reality. Recently, two professors in Jerusalem have helped identify a gene that affects pain. Working with other scientists, the team has had promising success on human subjects. For those with CPS, this will be an amazing deliverance from pain. This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, over 40% of Israelis live in poverty. We have an opportunity to return the blessing God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to roiminute.com. That's roiminute.com.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shammai Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shammai Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shammai Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme bagels tonight.
Okay, guys, I've got good news and good news. Well, for those of you that are afraid to go on the air, you won't have time. You don't have to go on the air. And the other good news is that it's a really easy question. So if you get this right, you get a coupon for bagels and a CD from Ted Pierce. The question is, what was Paul's Hebrew name? What was Paul's Hebrew name? The number to call is 222-2990. And guess what's coming up next? A very exciting interview with Jesmyn Andrews. Shalom, Jesmyn, and welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Shabbat shalom.
Oh, it's so nice to have you. I've enjoyed reading your book, Sullied Bride, and it's just so interesting. How did you come to write such a topic and talk about how women have been treated throughout the Bible? What brought you to do this?
Well, as it says, I do have somewhat of a romantic disposition, and I love those type of love stories and everything. And then in the Bible, it says Yeshua is returning for a bride. And so I was just really intrigued by that. But they have brides in every culture. And so Greek culture have brides, and the bride in the Greek culture was just for breeding and just being used by men. And then in the Middle East, you have child brides. So I was really drawn to what it means to be the bride of Yeshua. And this is an inherently Jewish bride. And I just started delving further into that, like, how does the Jewish bride come and how is she treated from other brides? And then when I was studying Hebrew, I saw that accompanying the word helpmate, which is what is typically translated, there's the word neged, which means to contend. So the bride isn't necessarily supposed to be this docile, weak creature, but she was also put there to contend and correct the man, and, of course, as a support as well. And when I started kind of noticing how this is the way the bride was created, but then there was this kind of shift where she was made into kind of battered down and mistreated from the beginning, and I just kind of started writing about that. And it started out as an essay, but as I was going further with the writing, just more and more topics came up, and then it turned into a book, The Lead Bride.
Well, great. Well, you mentioned the beginning of time, and that kind of goes right along with the first question I have. So from the beginning of time, did God instruct man on how woman should be treated?
Well, it came a lot with how did the man treat his bride, because at first he was saying, well, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. And as how typically most relationships start, they kind of start in this honeymoon phase, and then they kind of deteriorate into something else where it becomes this battle for dominance, and you get tired of people. You get fed up because who wants to be corrected? Who wants to be told, well, this isn't right, but this is exactly why the woman was put there, and of course this nature of creation has been purposely omitted, that she was there to contend against Adam. And so that would be somewhat of a threat even to Adam. You could perceive that if she sees something in me that is not good, then she's there to expose it. And so the best way to keep her from exposing anything that's not good in me is to, well, let's assassinate her character. Let's make her look like a villain, and or just start treating her like a possession, because if he, the man, is ruling over her, then she's really not fulfilling that call to correct him. And so how she was treated, how Eve was treated, is kind of indicative of this kind of fear of being.
Where would you say things started to go wrong, or when did things start to go wrong in the way man treated women?
Well, it's hard to identify the exact pinpointed time that it went wrong, because you ask, when did you stop loving me? When did I stop loving you? That's kind of a question. But here is the situation at whole. First, God told Adam to name the animals, and this was in Genesis 2:19. And so all the animals were put before Adam, including the snake, and this Adam named the snake, which is in Hebrew describes the character of the snake, which is one who hisses, a show of force, or witchcraft, which is akin to deception. So Adam knew the character traits of the snake. He named them as such. And then you see in Genesis 3:6, when the snake deceived Eve, Adam was with her, because it says she gave the fruit to her husband who was with her. So trying to pinpoint that moment when things went wrong, it's somewhat like proving intent or premeditation, in a sense of Adam knew the character trait of the snake, and he witnessed the snake deceiving Eve, did not say a word, and then watched her eat the fruit of death. So at that point, from Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, something happened where Adam got to the point where he was not going to stand up and guard and defend and protect his wife, but instead watch her fail. And then it's almost kind of like maybe he wanted to see what would happen if she ate the fruit. And then if she didn't collapse, then maybe he figured God was a liar and just ate the fruit himself. But then, of course, now that he's caught red-handed, then he wants to shift the blame to her and make it seem as though she is the reason that all the suffering and death has entered the world.
Hmm. So how did Adam's lack of owning up or taking responsibility, how did that affect future generations?
It affected them a lot. I mean, it's the iniquity of the fathers passes to the third and fourth generations. And in Hebrew specifically, I vote it's the fathers. And so you have Cain, who also was a murderer, and he probably learned it subtly from his father, because also the thing with iniquity is it increases over the generations. So it might start with Adam being very passive-aggressive, and then the next generation, you have overt aggression, and then the entire world was filled with violence, and Adam lived 930 years, and for 930 years of his existence, it was just this constant decline and further separation from God, which ended up with the flood having to occur.
Why is Yeshua referred to as a second Adam?
Well, Yeshua is referred to as the second Adam because the first Adam is where through death, through one man came, and that all men suffer death. And then Yeshua came and eradicated death through his sacrifice. And so he became the second Adam because the first Adam was flawed and there needed to be a second Adam. Just like we needed a new covenant, Brit Hadashah, we needed a second Adam. And so we are to lay all our burdens upon the Lord. And this is something that the first Adam failed to do because we couldn't lay our burdens on the first Adam. And in fact, the first Adam was laying his burdens and his sin on us, which was not correct.
I see. So in the scripture, they mention, or the word mentions, that women should submit to their husbands. And so what does that really mean, to submit to our husbands?
Well, it's just like the nature of woman, where it's kind of been covered up that she has a dual nature to contend or support. And if you notice in the scriptures, it also says submit to each other in fear of Messiah in the verse preceding it in Ephesians 5:21. So it means that the husband also submits to his wife. And so the wife submits to her husband, the husband submits to her wife. Just like Yeshua said, those who want to be your leaders must first become your servants. So if the husband is the head of the household, then as a leader, he becomes a servant. And then it's vice versa. So therefore, no group lords over the other, and that it's about either supporting the man if he is correct, and if he's not, contend against him as the nature should be.
Yes, very good. And for those of you that just turned on, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and I'm talking with Jasmine Andrews, the author of a book called Sullied Bride. Now, we are talking a lot about Adam and Eve and the mistakes that they made. As women, what can we learn from Eve's mistake?
Well, God said that I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the snake, and that your seed will crush the head of the snake and bruise his heel. And we know that that's Yeshua. But also those who follow Yeshua become the descendant of this promised seed. And so what women can learn from this is that it's time for us to arise and be warriors. And we don't have to live under deception anymore because God put an enmity between the seed. So we now have the discernment to look at our enemy and know who he is. And so what we've been taught is that, oh, well, because Eve was deceived, women are prone to deception. But that's not true, because God immediately made a covenant with her seed so that that same deception does not have to occur over and over again. And then the second thing women can learn from Eve's mistake is not to defer their authority to the man. because although Eve was in deception, you can kind of speculate that since Adam was standing there not saying anything, that she might have been relying more on Adam to speak up against something to make her decision, as opposed to just kind of relying on what she heard first. And so women have to not defer to waiting for a man to protect them or to authorize them or even legitimize their presence. And also that you are in covenant with God and to arise as the warrior that you're called to be.
Amen, girl. So tell me, how can we women gain respect in a world that's dominated by men?
Well, in a lot of ways to gain that respect, you just have to take it, which is kind of controversial because people are often preaching and teaching that you just kind of submit and respect, but you have to make it so that you get the respect that you ask for, like not settle for less than what you ask for. If it's not the way you want it, just like the husband is to love his wife, and what we encounter is a wife might complain that she doesn't necessarily feel loved, and then she hears a lot of scriptures about enduring persecution or just trying to win him over with her respectful behavior, but he made a covenant and he vowed to do it. And so don't take the love in the way that he gives it to you. Only receive the love in a manner that you deem fit. And then also just remember that the Lord is with you. If David could encounter Goliath and defeat him in battle, where Goliath had clearly obvious superior strength and the Lord was with him, then women also recognize that the Lord is with you and that if the Lord can open the Red Sea and do all of these miracles. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 22 or 21, depending on the translation reading, it says that the Lord is going to do a new thing. A woman will compass a man, says Nekivah Tisavav Gavar. That means that a girl will compass the mighty. Either she will protect the mighty as a warrior or compass as in the way Israel surrounded Jericho and defeated them. And so when you believe in these miracles, you believe in the supernatural outpouring of God and his spirit, and you will have that type of boldness that regardless of what the world says, that the Lord is going to give you victory over it.
Hallelujah. Now, you have a quote in your book that I thought was really interesting, and I wondered if you could explain it a little bit more to our listeners. You said, God does not hear the prayers of a husband who disrespects his wife. Can I hear an amen to that? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, that comes from in Peter, and it just says that. So it's just like God relates to us the way we relate to one another. So when we are the bride of Yeshua, and so when you have examples of a bride on earth and how you respond to her, if you treat her as a subordinate, if you treat her as you want to invalidate her, then the Lord is going to respond the same way to you, because it's showing you this. If this is how you don't want to be treated like this, then why would you expect a woman to put up with being treated that way? So it's a lot like the Lord basically just turning his face away and giving you exactly what you put out.
Yes. Now, in your book, you describe a lot of examples of men that disrespected women, but I'm wondering if there are cases in the Bible that show men treating women with respect?
Well, I asked that question before too, and I kind of answered the same way. It's not a lot of examples of it. And the whole point is we're supposed to learn and do better, because Yeshua said you'll do these and greater miracles. And I think the reason why we're not seeing even equal level of miracles at Yeshua is because some of the most basic lessons we've failed to actually learn, such as love your neighbor the way you love yourself. So if you don't want to be told, do what I say, submit, or have somebody invalidating your desires and your needs, then you can't do it to somebody else. And so I like the story of Jacob and Rachel. I mean, I think that type of overt display of affection and how he worked for 7 years for a woman. And sometimes men, you hear complaints about, well, why are you spending so much money on clothes, or a lot of issues about finances? But it wasn't a problem for Jacob. But along with that, there's still this problem with Leah, where she was a sullied bride because she was married into this for monetary reasons, because her father gave her away and they tricked Jacob, and she was unloved. And so there are a few examples. You can talk about the Song of Solomon as being somewhat of a love story, but it's also very hidden, or not, it's very subtle, but the Song of Solomon is not actually about Solomon. It's about a woman who escaped from the harem.
Jasmine.
Yes.
I lost you again.
Oh.
What's the Song of Solomon about?
It's about a woman who's actually escaped from the harem, and she is, rather than just being treated like a stable woman that the king can just come in and out for, she at the end says, you can keep the 1,000, Solomon. I tend to my own vineyard. And so it's a lot of stories in the Bible about either the wife being mistreated or neglected, and we should learn from these stories and basically do the opposite, because there haven't been a lot of examples of women being treated very well.
And you mention in your book towards the end about the dual nature of love. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. Because in love, there is the two natures, where there's the part where you serve because you love. You cook dinner because you love. You do things. But love also has that warring aspect of it, where if somebody harms somebody that you love, that you're willing to stand up and fight for that person because they've harmed you or because something has happened. And so it can't just be all grace and it can't just be all law. It's both, where because of love that you're offered grace, where you don't necessarily just shut somebody your life over one offense, but also because of the law, and if you love the Lord and you keep his commandments, then there's the part of love where you are not just going to irritate that person or do stuff like just lave your stuff around and talk about, oh, well, I'm loved and I can just do whatever I want and this person is going to keep loving me, because then it just moves into abuse. So love is not a choice. Love takes passion, and it takes a lot of desire, and it has more to it than just the affection part of it. And it takes justice, because if you love somebody, you wouldn't just have them living without justice. If you love somebody, you would stand up for them. And if you love someone, you wouldn't take advantage of that love and just think that you can walk all over them because they're in love with you.
I see. What advice do you have for women listening to the program today that feel that their husbands don't respect them, and they love their husbands, they want to stay in their marriage? What advice do you have for them?
Well, you have to be the person that God called you to be. And you are not called to defer your authority to that husband, and he does not have the right to invalidate the calling on your life. Now, the example is with Isaac and Rebekah. God spoke directly to Rebekah and told her that the younger child in her womb would be ruler over the older child. And right at the crucial time, Isaac, her husband, was going to give the blessing to the older son, Esau. And this was not what God told her. And Rebekah did not defer her authority to Isaac, but she made sure that the message that God gave her went through. And people might give Rebekah flack for being deceptive, but she was not going to be overruled and invalidated by her husband when God gave her a calling. And so the best advice is, do not defer your authority to your husband.
And I would imagine prayer would certainly be a very powerful tool in that case, too.
Yes, you can't.
Hello?
Oh, yes. Because in Genesis 3:6, and it's a curse, it says your desire will be after your husband and he will rule over you. And people have embraced that curse as, well, yes, because the woman is supposed to be under the man. But in reality, desiring your husband means that you put him before God and that you want this man before God. If Rebecca had been living under that curse, she would have deferred to Isaac because she would have desired pleasing Isaac more than pleasing God. And so the best thing is, of course, prayer, because God can also.
I want to thank you so much for being my guest. And if somebody wants to get a copy of your book, Sullied Bride, what is the best way?
You can find a copy of Sullied Bride on Amazon.com, or you can get a copy of Sullied Bride at Barnes & Noble.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I pray the Lord's blessings on you, and I wish you much success. And you know what? I know that you end your book this way. We know that with Yeshua, we have redemption, and we have victory, and we become warriors. Isn't that right?
Yes, it is. Psalm 68.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you, Jasmine.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
You're
bless
welcome.
You too.
Thank
Shabbat
you. Shalom. Shabbat
shalom.
Bye-bye. Bye. That was my interview with Jasmine Andrews. Go on Amazon and get her book, Sullied Bride. Right now, it's time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yagir Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yisa Adonai Panam Alecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. And remember that every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. I will be in the studio for a few moments. We don't have a winner yet. I'd like to give away that CD and the coupon for bagels. So the question was, what was Paul's Hebrew name? Call now at 222-2990. What was Paul's Hebrew name? 222-2990. I'll be around for a few moments. God bless you. Shabbat shalom.